Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, rain helps fight the wildfires, but the drought persists. The state pressures cities to enforce their laws on homelessness. And candidates for Georgia governor debate ahead of next month's primary.
Georgians see what's happening in Trump's economy. Billionaires and special interests are lining their pockets while you pay the bill.
Today is Tuesday, April 28th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is reducing water releases from its reservoirs on the Savannah River because of the region's ongoing drought. Water levels at Clark's Hill Lake are about 7 feet below full summer pool. Agency Savannah District Water Manager Craig Clark says less water through the dams means less electricity being generated.
We'll run the other projects a little bit heavier. For SEPA, the Southeastern Power Association, they will purchase power as well, just to make up any kind of deficit, to make sure that there's no shortage of power demand at all.
The move also affects downstream river users and wildlife. We are getting some drought relief today with moderate showers, and AccuWeather meteorologist Chad Merrill says a low-pressure trough will force storm systems further south over the next few weeks.
And it's also going to force the storm track a little bit farther south, so there will be opportunities for rain during the first to the middle part of May. Usually with a storm track like this, there's opportunity for a couple of rounds of severe weather, but the rain will definitely be pretty beneficial when it comes. It does appear that the storm track is pretty fast, so the rain will come in and then it will exit, but at least there's going to be multiple periods of rain during the first to middle part of May.
But he says even that won't be enough to put a major dent in a deficit of between 10 to 15 inches of rainfall needed in 1 month for drought recovery. The rain is helping in South Georgia, where firefighters continue to make progress in two large wildfires. The Georgia Forestry Commission said today the blaze in Clinch and Eccles counties was 23% contained, and the one in Brantley County is about a third contained. Georgia U.S. Senator Raphael Warnock visited Brantley County yesterday and spoke with reporters afterward.
The folks on the ground are resilient, but it doesn't make these kinds of tragedies any less devastating. And so it's important for us to show up with all of the resources available to the federal government at the state and local level to make sure that these people are made whole.
He urged Congress to pass stalled legislation to fund the Department of Homeland Security, which includes disaster response in the Federal Emergency Management Agency. You might have a sense that there are more unhoused people in your community lately. That feeling, whether supported by facts or not, is what inspired state lawmakers this year to pass a bill aimed at pushing cities to enforce laws already on the books related to homelessness. GPB's Grant Blankenship takes a look at the early effects of the legislation in Macon.
Andrew Eck is fed up.
As the laws are right now, this is not right.
Eck renovates old houses and builds furniture from salvaged wood for a living, but most days, he also drives his golf cart to Macon's Riverwalk, called the Okmulgee Heritage Trail, to see how many people are still living here.
So, like, okay, right here, if you walk in there, there's like, he's got like BB guns and like seven bikes.
This camp at the end of a little single track through a stand of bamboo is mostly hidden from the river trail. It's just one of the spots Eck's been repeatedly checking. And up until this point, he's been pretty frustrated with the city's response to this campground and others like it. He wants the county to clean them out.
There's 150,000 people in our community that are at, are entitled to use this park. One individual can't hoard it. So it's illegal. That's not what this was designed for.
In Macon-Bibb County Code, camps like this one are illegal, but they could also be growing.
Has a doctor ever diagnosed you with a mental health disorder, a substance use disorder, or a chronic medical condition?
A private contractor called Root Analytics conducted Macon's piece of the national point-in-time count in January. That 2026 data from the annual homeless census isn't available yet.
Are you a veteran?
But data through last year suggests a 33% increase in the number of unhoused people here since 2020. And that same data suggests more unhoused people are staying away from homeless shelters. Republican State Representative Houston Gaines says he's seen something similar in his district. in the city of Athens.
I hear from people whose families, you know, they don't feel comfortable going to eat downtown because every time they go somewhere, they're being harassed by panhandlers. And so those are the kind of issues that we're trying to address and try to make sure we're cleaning up.
His tool for that is the bill he sponsored called House Bill 295.
What this bill does is it holds local government's feet to the fire.
HB 295 now awaits Governor Kemp's signature. It would work like this. If your community has not been enforcing laws around homelessness, and if you own real property, like a home or a business, and if the value of your property falls, you could sue the local government for the property value you lost. But Houston Gaines says this is not really the point of HB 295.
Our goal here is not the refunds. Our goal here is just to get local governments to enforce the law.
Out of fear of getting sued, Macon Bibb County Mayor Lester Miller has heard the message.
You've got this new House Bill 295, very serious bill that is going to result in possibly $1 million worth of lawsuits to counties and cities.
That's Miller in a recent meeting of the Macon Bibb County Commission. The Code Enforcement Department, Andrew Eck, wants to see it work on the Macon Riverwalk. It reports to Miller, who told the commission that even if the county wins lawsuits brought by property owners...
Guess what? We're going to have to pay for the outside counsel that represents on these cases here. So those are some of the things...
The day before the mayor's warning, code enforcement dismantled one of the camps by the river that worried Andrew Eck. A few days later, a new camp sprang up on the river trail, just a little downstream. For GPB News, I'm Grant Blankenship in Macon.
A partnership between an Atlanta company that connects doctors and patients with rare diseases to clinical trials could improve how patients are identified and referred. GPB's Ellen Eldridge has more.
Patients living with rare diseases often face obstacles, including eligibility and limited access to studies and trials that make it difficult for both clinicians and families. Atlanta-based Rare Disease Research is working with biotech company My Tomorrows, based in the Netherlands. Mar Soto Ruiz de la Torres with My Tomorrows says patients living with rare diseases often don't know what options are available or where to start looking.
So the role of My Tomorrows is to make sure that patients and physicians have reliable information. They understand what the potential options are and their implications.
She says they have an online platform that helps physicians check the eligibility of their patients specifically for trials available in Georgia. For GPB News, I'm Ellen Eldridge.
A record-breaking number of voters cast ballots on the first day of early voting for the midterm primary election. The Georgia Secretary of State's office says a little more than 35,000 Georgians went to the polls yesterday. That is a 29% increase over the first day of early voting in the 2022 primary. Two of the most closely watched races this year are the Democratic and Republican campaigns for governor. Yesterday was likely the only time all the major candidates would appear in one place, and that was at GPB for the Atlanta Press Club debates. GPB's Chase McGee reports on a bruising hour on the Republican side and Democratic doubts about one of their candidates.
Eight Republicans and seven Democrats took the stage in two separate debates. All are vying to be their party's nominee for the gubernatorial election this fall. A majority of the 15 candidates messaged on affordability. Here's Attorney General and Republican Chris Carr.
We've got to make sure we focus on jobs and safety. We've got to focus on affordability and housing.
And former state senator and Democrat Jason Estevez.
Georgians see what's happening in Trump's economy. Billionaires and special interests are lining their pockets while you pay the bill.
Some Democrats seemed largely skeptical of Jeff Duncan, a former lieutenant governor and Republican under Brian Kemp, who announced he changed parties last August. And on the Republican stage, Rick Jackson and Burt Jones sparred over the finances behind their campaigns. For GPB News, I'm Chase McGee.
The Atlanta Press Club debates continue today. You can find all 18 debates at gpb.org/debates. A passenger on a Delta Airlines flight from Atlanta gave birth to a healthy 5.5-pound baby girl just before the flight landed at Portland International Airport in Oregon on Friday night. Two paramedics who happened to be on the flight assisted, borrowing blankets from other passengers and using a shoelace to tie off the umbilical cord just before the flight landed. A responding crew from Portland Airport Fire and Rescue found the mother and baby healthy, and the new family was transported to a local hospital for observation. And that is it for this edition of Georgia Today. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hope you'll come back tomorrow. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast. And in the meantime, check gpb.org/news for updates and all the latest headlines. And let us know what you think of this podcast or send story ideas our way. Our email address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you again for listening. We will see you tomorrow.